Well, good afternoon, brethren. And good afternoon to everyone who's watching over the internet. Today I'm going to give a somewhat of an impromptu message, which means I need to be very careful to make sure I don't go over time. So I brought a stopwatch, and it's designed for speakers because it comes with a whistle. So if I see anyone beginning to doze off, I can just blow the whistle to get their attention. So I'm going to start it. I'm going to try to go 30 minutes. I always believe that I can get a good message across in 30 minutes, and that's always my goal. Sometimes I go a little bit over, but 30 minutes is what I shoot for. Before I get into Mr. Sagley, I gave a message about a month ago about planting seeds and watering seeds. And this message today is a follow-up to that message. And both of the messages were inspired by Mr. Sigley's two messages on the 10 heresies of Christian belief. I think you might remember them. The information that Mr. Sagley gave us was it discredited each false Christian belief, and it was accurate, it was thorough, and the information is excellent to share with other people. While studying the information the following week, a thought came into my mind, and the thought was this: if God gives me a lot of time with a person, the information Mr. Sagley gave me would be great to use. However, if God gives me a small amount of time with a person, what can I say? What if God puts me in a situation and I only have 15, 30, or maybe 45 seconds to say something to discredit a false Christian belief? What if I'm in the mall displaying UCG booklets, or at a party, or at work, or on the phone, and have less than 45 seconds to discredit a false Christian belief? Then in prayer and meditation, it occurred to me, planting a seed takes less time than planting a tree. Planting a seed takes less time than planting a tree. It also takes fewer tools, and it takes less time to plant a seed. And it's much easier. What I needed now was another method, in addition to Mr. Sigley's method, to discredit false Christian beliefs by planting and watering seeds quickly and with ease. The title of this message is Breaking the Chains of False Beliefs Within 45 Seconds. In this message, we will review how we might help break the chains of false beliefs by planting and watering spiritual seeds within 45 seconds. A handout was given to you as you entered the church. If anyone needs a handout, please raise your hand and the usher will give you one. This handout is a work in progress, and it's subject to updates. There may be some grammar and spelling errors in it. The purpose of sharing this method with you is to solicit your input so that we can make it near perfect. So you have homework. We're going to go over this, and then I'd like for you to take it home and review it and see how you might improve it. I would like to make this new method available to all of the volunteers who help display UCG booklets in Orange County malls and other malls throughout California. Yes, you heard me correctly when you heard me say, and other malls throughout California. You see, there are several UCG congregations in California who are currently considering duplicating in their counties what we do here in Orange County with the retail malls. So, brethren, if you have any suggestions on how to improve the seeds in this handout or have new seeds to add to these handouts, please write them down and share them with me at your convenience. Now, let's spend the remaining time reviewing the handout and see how we might improve it. So let's go to the handout. Okay, it's called Breaking the Chains of False Beliefs by Planting and Watering Spiritual Seeds Within 45 Seconds. Good spiritual seeds need to be brief and to the point and truthful without contradiction. So I've broken the columns into three parts. The first part, the column one, is false belief. The next, the remaining four columns, are planting the seed. And the next two columns is watering the seed. And remember, we're going to try to do this within 45 seconds. Okay, so let's look at the first false belief. When we hear someone refer to dead people being awake and aware of their surroundings, the seed we might want to plant is the seed about the resurrection. The purpose is to have that person ponder about and give an answer on why people have to come alive again in a resurrection. See, some people believe people are alive when they're dead. So we're going to plant a seed about a resurrection. We're going to ask people why people have to come alive again in a resurrection. And we have two ways of planting that seed. The first way is a more difficult one, and it's for those people here who have a good memory, have the ability to remember scriptures and remember where they're at in the Bible. So when I hear someone say, "Hey, you know, people who are dead are awake and aware of their surroundings," I'm going to say one of two things. I'm going to say, if dead people are awake and aware of their surroundings, would you please help me understand why Paul said people who are dead will come alive and meet the Lord in the clouds? 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. Now, that's for those people who can remember all of that. Now, the next column is for people like myself, who have difficulty remembering all those scriptures and where they're at. I'm going to paraphrase the saying by saying, why does the Bible teach dead people will come alive again in the resurrection? I'm going to ask them that question so they will think about that. If dead people are already alive and awake or aware, why do they have to come alive again? So I want them to ponder that thought. And then I want to water the seed. I want to tell them, especially if I don't have any booklets with me, I want to tell them, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, First Resurrection. And that will bring them to a video that it's about a 30-minute video that they talk about the resurrection. I'm going to let that video do the training or the teaching to that person, because I can't remember all of that stuff. Now, if I'm volunteering at the mall, I'm going to give them a book. I'm going to say this: if you want more information on this topic, please read this booklet, God's Holy Day Plan. And that's all I'm doing. I'm planting a seed about the resurrection, and I'm watering the seed by giving them either a video or a booklet. Very simple, and I could do that within 45 seconds. Now let's look at the second one. The false belief that Sunday replacing Saturday as a weekly Sabbath, right? I mean, we all heard that false belief, right? The seed that I'm thinking about planting is the seed about, are you following Jesus? Real simple. I'm going to keep it like a child. Are you following Jesus? And what I'm going to say to that individual is, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me in Mark 8:34. How is attending Sabbath services on Sunday following Jesus if Jesus attended on Saturday? Very simple question. I want to plant that seed and let that person think through that thought. Now, to paraphrase it, I want to say, why would Jesus say, follow me, and then later replace Sunday as a weekly Sabbath? You see what I'm doing? Now I'm going to water that seed by saying, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, God's Sabbath. And of course, a video will come up, a Beyond Today video, explaining why Saturday is the Sabbath and not Sunday. I don't have to spend my time trying to explain that video, because I can't keep all that knowledge in my head and keep it straight, nor do I have the time. And then if I'm at the mall and I have booklets around me, I'm going to say, if you want more information on this topic, read this booklet, God's Holy Day Plan. I'm going to suggest that they read this book. Okay, I'm going to give them that book. I'm not going to sit there and discuss and argue with them, because that's not my job. My job is to plant and water a seed. God's Holy Spirit is the one who convicts that individual if God wants to. Needless to say, after I finished preparing this, I had an opportunity to use it in the last couple of weeks. Gene and I had some family come over, and it was Sunday. They were getting ready to leave. It was a couple hours before they left. And we got into a conversation about the world and how terrible it is and how bad it's getting. And I said, well, we all know that man can't solve their own problems relating to the world and their behavior. And the person disagreed with me. She goes, they said, no, I don't believe that. I believe that mankind can. And so I just said to her, well, then why does Jesus have to return to straighten out mankind and the world? You know, that's the seed I wanted to plant, his return. And the person said, well, I don't believe Jesus is coming back in a body form, something to that effect. He's going to come back in spirit, or he's going to do it from heaven, but he's not actually coming back and building his kingdom on earth. I'm paraphrasing what she said. And I said, I didn't say anything else. I was, because it's family, right? I don't want to argue with them. I don't want to get into a large debate with them. So I let it go. I changed the conversation to something else. But the next morning, what I did is I emailed her a link to the Beyond Today video. And in the email, in the subject line, I put, "What does the Bible say about Christ returning to earth for the second time?" I'm water in the sea, right? And I said that, all I said was, "Here's a video that I think you might find interesting." And that's it. I didn't go into great detail. I just kept it simple. Because my job is only to plant the seed and to water the seed, not convert that person or to convince them that my way is right and their way is not right. Okay? That's God's Holy Spirit's job. So I don't know what the outcome is, nor do I really care. I did my job. I planted and watered the seed to the best of my ability. Now it's up to God and His Holy Spirit to convict her if He wants to and in His time frame. So I get my credit by just planting and watering the seed. So let's go through a couple more here. Number three, we hear people talk about God's Holy Spirit being a person like our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He's a person. We hear that all the time. Now, the seed I want to plant is, if the Spirit is really a person, why is He not mentioned in certain scriptures? And I'm going to say to that individual, call him three, I got two things I can say. The more difficult one is, please help me understand why John did not mention the Holy Spirit when he said, "A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb." Revelation 22:1. Now, I can't remember all of that. You know, I'm at 73. I can't remember all this stuff. But I can paraphrase it and say, why would John not mention the Holy Spirit when mentioning the throne of God? So when, if someone is talking about the throne of God, you would think that if the Holy Spirit was a person, He might be mentioned. You know, our Father is mentioned, Jesus is mentioned, no one mentions the Holy Spirit. And then if I want to water that, and I don't have booklets, I might be in an elevator or on the phone somewhere, I just tell them, hey, if you want more information on this, use your internet browser and type, "Beyond Today, is the Holy Spirit a person?" Very simple. Or if I want to paraphrase it, I would say, why would John not mention the Holy Spirit when mentioning the throne of God? I'm just paraphrasing it. If they want to know the scripture or where it says that, I can always tell them, I'll tell you what, I'll get back with you, and I'll either email you or phone you the scripture or where that's recorded. And of course, at the same time, I will water it by saying, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type, "Beyond Today, is the Holy Spirit a person?" Now, if I'm at the mall and I have booklets around, I'm going to say, if you want more information on this topic, read this booklet, "Is God a Trinity?" So I'm trying to keep it simple. There are times when I have a lot of time to sit down and talk to someone, but most of the time I don't. Most of the time I have seconds to plant and water a seed. And as we know, planting and watering a seed is one of the things our reward is based on. And it's also important to remember that our reward is not based on how many people we convert or bring into the church. Our reward is based on how many times I plant and water a seed, because it's God's Holy Spirit that really convicts the person. So let's move to the next one. The one I like is 3B. And it has to do, again, with the Holy Spirit being a person. I'm going to skip to the third column. Well, the seed I'm going to plant is, where is the Holy Spirit? You know, where is the Holy Spirit? And this is in the vision of Stephen, if you remember Stephen, when he was being martyred. Why did Stephen, this is what I want that person to ponder on, this seed, why did Stephen not see the Holy Spirit standing next to our Father in his vision of heaven? Stephen gets a vision of heaven. He sees the Father, our Lord Jesus, but he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit. Now, how bad is that? Where is the Holy Spirit? He's not on vacation. So that's what I want that person to think about. Okay, so I would plant this seed one of two ways. The difficult way is, please help me understand why Stephen saw only Jesus standing next to our Father in his vision of heaven. Acts 7, 55, 56. For people like myself who can't remember all of this stuff, I would just say, hey, why did Stephen not mention the Holy Spirit in his vision of heaven? And I could say that anyway. Paraphrase it any way I want. You know, if the Holy Spirit is really a person, we want that individual that we're talking to ponder and think about why the Holy Spirit is not seen or talked about in these scriptures. So I would water that seed by saying, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type beyond today, is the Holy Spirit a person? It's the same as the one before, okay? So let's move to the second page. Let's go to number four. This is the false belief that dead people immediately go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. Purgatory, of course, is a Catholic teaching. People believe this. People believe that when a person dies, they go to one of those three places. So the seed that I would want to plant and suggesting to plant is the seed about the white throne judgment. I want the person to think this. Why is there a great white throne judgment after the millennium? If people have already been judged, right? They die, they're judged, they go one of three places. Why do we have a white throne judgment? Why do we have another judgment? So I want that person to think about that. And then I want to say, if people are judged right after they die to determine if they go to heaven, hell, or purgatory, then please help me understand why the Bible talks about a great white throne judgment. Yeah, that's what I want to mention to them. And then I want to paraphrase it. If people are judged right after they die. Why are they judged a second time? Gee, it doesn't make sense. So I want to water that seed after I plant it by saying, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, Heaven or Hell. And then that brings up a video which explains the truth. And then if I'm at the mall and I have books around, I want to say, if you want more information on this topic, okay, number four, if you're volunteering at the mall, there's a mistake there. What you want to do is you want to give them the booklet entitled Heaven or Hell, okay? You don't want to type in your internet browser. That's a mistake. You want to give them the book Heaven or Hell. That will explain about why people are not judged when they die. Okay, let's just do one more, and then I'm going to let you take this home and just look at it and study it and pray about it. And then if there's any mistakes or like I just found one, just bring them to my attention the next time you see me or email me or so forth. I hear this, salvation is through grace and faith and not works. Man, I hear that all the time, right? The seed I want to plant is a seed about our reward. I want to say, well, the reason I want to plant this seed is to change the conversation and help the person start thinking about what they need to be doing after they are saved by grace to receive their reward. And I'm going to say to that individual, or you could say, you are absolutely correct. Our salvation is based on grace. However, our reward is based on our works after salvation. Would you please help me understand why Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." So I don't want to get into the debate on whether salvation is based on works or based on grace. That's not the conversation I want to have with that person. We all know that salvation is of grace. But what about our reward? See, our reward is not based on grace. It's based on our works. And that's the conversation I want to have with that individual. I want to get that individual thinking of that, not grace. So I would say, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, Our Reward. And of course, the video comes up about that. Okay, my time is running out, so I'm gonna leave it at that. Ask you to review it at your convenience and let me know. So let's conclude, brother. Let's conclude with this thought. Brethren, we must never underestimate the power of a planted seed. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." 1 Corinthians 3:6. In this section, Paul describes the power of a planted seed and our part to plant seeds as one of God's agents in his plan of salvation. You know, it reminds me of Noah. God charged Noah for two things: to build the ark and preach righteousness. Now, even though he preached righteousness for a long time, no one ever was converted. He didn't add one more person to his family to go on the ark. But his reward was not based on how many people he was to convert to righteousness. His work was to build the ark and preach righteousness. And that's what he did. And his reward was based on that. Not how many people he brought in the church and not how many people he converted, because he has no control over that. He only had control over building the ark and preaching righteousness. And that's the same thing with planting and watering the seed. We have no control over how many people that seed will convert. All we have control is planting it and watering it. And that's what our reward is on. God alone produces results. However, our responsibility as one of God's agents in his plan of salvation, and he does have a plan, is to plant and water spiritual seeds. Now, why is it important that we plant and water spiritual seeds? It's very important because our reward is based on it. Paul says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers." 1 Corinthians 3:8-9. See, we are only rewarded based on planting and watering, not by the number of people we bring into church or the number of people we convert. Brethren, let's not let Satan deceive us and rob us of our reward by convincing us we are not God's fellow workers and that we do not have a responsibility to plant and water spiritual seeds. As we plant and water spiritual seeds, let's remember we have no control of the soil the seed is planted in. The only control we have is to be God's proactive workers and plant and water seeds when given the opportunity. Brethren, let's do the right thing. Let's continue to do the work Jesus started. Let's continue to spread the words of our Father, and let's continue to plant and water spiritual seeds. He who has ears, let him hear.